It's only a kick. A jump. A block. It's only a serve. It's only a tackle. A run. It's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
Tonight, several developing stories as we come on the air. The devastating wildfire exploding in Northern California. Tens of thousands of acres burned in less than 48 hours. And we've just learned the fire has destroyed more than 100 structures. The state's governor declaring a state of emergency in the area. Dozens of hikers rescued. Hundreds of homes evacuated. Extreme drought is fueling the out-of-control inferno. And news just coming in, a mudslide stranding more than two dozen people near Big Bear, California. The new flood threat in Kentucky hampering search efforts. More rain is now hitting some of the worst impacted areas. Flash flooding possible in the coming hours as the death toll rises. Kentucky's governor tours the devastation by helicopter. What we're learning about those four siblings swept away. Dozens of people still unaccounted for this hour. Armola Lange is in the flood zone, and Rob Marciano times out the rain and the new heat wave threatening the East Coast. The growing monkeypox outbreak. New York City joins San Francisco in declaring a state of emergency. The city's health commissioner calls New York the epicenter of the virus as the city awaits more vaccine doses. The war in Ukraine, one of the country's richest men, a top grain tycoon, killed in a Russian strike as dozens of ships remain docked at the country's ports. Those vessels packed with agricultural products and Vladimir Putin's new warning to the West. The nation mourns the loss of two trailblazers tonight. NBA legend Bill Russell, a pioneer on and off the court, a Hall of Famer with 11 NBA championships, two as the league's first black coach. After growing up in the segregated South, Russell marched for civil rights and paved the way for generations of NBA players who followed. And we mark the passing of groundbreaking actress Nichelle Nichols, who played Lieutenant Uhura on Star Trek, one of the first black women to play a character in a position of authority. President Biden's COVID rebound, isolating again after testing positive for the second straight day. His doctor says he continues to feel well, but the renewed COVID concerns are a setback for the president as his agenda starts to pick up steam, keeping him at home at a critical time, 100 days before the midterms. And 70 years and still going strong, the mailman with no intention of giving up his route.
From ABC News World Headquarters in New York, this is World News Tonight.
Good evening, everyone. Thanks so much for joining us on this Sunday. I'm Lindsay Davis. We have a lot to get to. New flooding concerns in Kentucky and the passing of an American icon, the legendary Bill Russell. But we do begin tonight with the explosive wildfire spreading in Northern California. The McKinney Fire has only been burning for 2 days, but it's already scorched more than 51,000 acres, and it's spreading fast. The fire is now 0% contained, fueled by the extreme drought, and it's burning in an area where they have not been any recent fires. Roughly 2,000 residents have been evacuated. Several homes have already been destroyed. Authorities rescued dozens of hikers from the area. They were not in immediate danger, but officials felt that they had to act because of the fire's rapid spread. ABC's Alex Brochet leads us off tonight from California.
Tonight, firefighters battling explosive flames along the California-Oregon border. The McKinney Fire, scorching more than 51,000 acres, 0% contained. Flames devouring hillsides, spilling over roads. Jackson County Search and Rescue guiding at least 60 to safety from the Pacific Crest Trail. Catherine Dibdahl says what started out as a normal day ended with her taking this photo as she and a van full of hikers rushed to safety.
All of a sudden, we started smelling smoke, and we looked over, and there was a huge plume.
One officer saying visibility was down to just 20 feet.
It was pretty scary driving through the fire. You could see on the Highway 5, the interstate, basically pitch black. Looked like midnight when it was, you know, sunset.
The flames roared back to life overnight, destroying at least 100 structures, including several homes.
Oh, my God, look at that. Burn!
Tor Mason took this video Friday as he desperately searched for friends.
Just terrible. I mean, he had minutes to get out of there before the
fire just engulfed us.
He'd later learn his home burned to the ground. That same fire now threatening 400 structures in the Klamath River community.
The fire was in your face. I actually got burned, you know, a little bit in my face. And it was so intense. I was scared.
The unpredictability sparking so much fear. Alex Prochet joins us tonight. And Alex, this is typically the dry season for California, but forecasters are now warning of potentially dangerous conditions ahead for the firefighters.
That's right, Lindsay. Fueled by wind and dry brush, a red flag warning remains in effect. Firefighters also worried about the possibility for dry lightning. Lindsay?
Lots of concerns there, Alex. Thank you. And we turn now to the desperate search in Kentucky, where crews are being hampered by more rain. At least 28 people confirmed dead. These new images show the scale of the devastation. The governor says the storms displaced hundreds of people and caused hundreds of millions of dollars in damage. Dozens remain missing. Authorities are now using canine units, combing through mountains of debris in their urgent hunt for survivors. ABC's Mola Lange reports in again tonight from the flood zone.
Tonight, with more rain falling in the same areas ravaged by flooding, authorities in Kentucky warning residents to be on alert.
Make sure you stay safe. Make sure you have a place that is higher ground. Go to a shelter.
New drone video showing the vast devastation. Homes and businesses gone. At least 28 people killed, including four young siblings. This is what's left of Amber Smith and Riley Noble's home. As water overtook the house, the family sought refuge in a tree. The powerful floodwaters eventually sweeping away their four young children, all killed. Noble's brother tells ABC News the 26-year-old had only recently moved his family into the home that now sits in a creek a few hundred yards away.
Here in hard-hit Knott County, the search parties are back at it, looking for people who are still missing, especially in this devastated area along what's called Troublesome Creek. It seems Troublesome Creek lived up to its name.
Tonight, rescuers desperately searching for at least 37 people still unaccounted for. The search area spanning 8 miles long and 2 to 3 miles wide. Canine units have massive ground to cover, combing through mountains of debris, looking for survivors.
I imagine there are a lot of traces of human remains that are affecting the dog's search.
Right. There's human scent in the water because others have drowned and been pushed through the water. Mm-hmm. There's human scent over everything that was in a home.
William Cook is organizing a search party to find his missing brother-in-law.
What kind of tolls has taken on your family?
They want closure. You know, they know about what it is, but they just want closure.
Understandable. They need that closure. Mola Lange joins us now from the flood zone in Kentucky. And Mola, what more are you learning about the missing people where you are in Knott County?
Well, Lindsay, here in Knott County, where 20 people were killed. I'm told as of today, all of the missing have now been recovered. That's after an exhaustive search today, where crews combed through miles and miles of terrain, mostly right along this waterway that flooded here and caused so much devastation. But elsewhere in the state, Lindsay, the search continues.
Desperation to find more survivors. Mola, thank you. News just coming in tonight. Details on a massive mudslide wreaking havoc near Big Bear, California after heavy rain there, stranding more than 24 people. These images show the mudslide and three of the stuck vehicles. Authorities are telling motorists to avoid the area. A flood watch is now in effect. Let's get straight to ABC's senior meteorologist Rob Marciano. Rob, no rest for the weary here. You're also tracking more rain for some of the hard-hit parts of Kentucky.
Yeah, unfortunately, Lindsay, the chances for heavier rains coming into Kentucky do increase tonight and will last through tomorrow. Let's show you the wide shot of the radar. You'll see that flood watch in through Kentucky and the rain heading through Memphis. That will be heading across the Tennessee Valley. And the heavy rain already across Southern California with that intense monsoon gutting up the Sierras. Big Bear obviously getting hit hard. This is not getting to that fire in Northern California. Only red flag warnings are posted there for potentially more dry lightning and certainly some windy conditions. The record heat this week didn't help in Portland. Another day in the 90s today begins to cool off finally tomorrow, but the heat building in the Midwest, up and over 100 degrees in parts of Kansas and South Dakota, and mid-90s in Minneapolis. That heat gets to the Northeast midweek. Lindsay?
A summer of extremes, Rob. Thank you. Tonight, New York City declaring a public health emergency. Officials are calling it the epicenter of the monkeypox outbreak in this country, saying more than 150,000 residents are at risk of exposure and should be vaccinated. Long lines at the city's vaccination clinics from New York to Los Angeles. And news tonight about who may be most at risk. ABC's Phil Lipoff tonight from New York.
Tonight, New York City joining San Francisco in declaring a public health emergency as monkeypox continues to spread.
We've been calling on more and more vaccine to be made available to the city because we are definitely the epicenter of this.
New York City's health commissioner saying 25% of the nation's cases are in New York, and roughly 150,000 New Yorkers are currently at risk of exposure. Right now, health officials are finding cases primarily among men who have sex with other men, though cases are spreading to other demographics. At this vaccine site in Los Angeles, long lines.
I had a little pop-up on Instagram that said, you know, you can walk-ups available. I came in with my documents and got in line.
But the line is not what concerns Matthew Dane, waiting to get vaccinated. It's the potential stigma the LGBTQ community faces.
I think, obviously, the stigma behind it is that, like, gay men are mostly affected. Yes, that is the statistic right now that's happening. But I think eventually people who aren't part of the LGBT community will understand that it's not just gay men.
With any disease outbreak, there is often a specific demographic, but based on the way the infection transmits, anyone is theoretically at risk.
The CDC saying there is evidence showing children younger than 8 and people with uncontrolled HIV may develop more severe illness if infected. The FDA approving the release of more than 800,000 more doses of the monkeypox vaccine in transit tonight. The White House saying 340,000 doses have already been administered nationwide. New York City's health commissioner is urging the White House to declare a national health emergency so that the city can have access to federal funds to better help prevent the spread of monkeypox. We understand President Biden is considering it. No official word just yet. Lindsay?
Still a wait and see, Phil. Thank you. We turn now to the Russian invasion of Ukraine. Fresh attacks overnight, shelling in the south, killing one of Ukraine's wealthiest men. The head of a major Ukrainian agricultural company and his wife were both killed. The strike comes as Ukrainian grain sits idle in southern ports. And tonight, the strong warning from President Zelensky to those remaining in the Donbass. ABC's Patrick Reeval from Ukraine tonight.
Tonight, one of Ukraine's wealthiest businessmen and his wife killed in a Russian strike on the port city of Mykolaiv. Alexei Vadaturski headed one of Ukraine's largest grain trading companies. Ukraine accusing Russia of deliberately targeting him in his mansion. Here in Odessa, ships loaded with grain still awaiting the go-ahead to leave. Vladimir Putin, meanwhile, today touting Russia's sea power at a parade marking Navy Day, saying Russia's fleet will soon be equipped with hypersonic missiles, calling the U.S. the main threat to Moscow. Outside of Russia, though, there are growing demands for the Kremlin to let international investigators into the prison camp where dozens of Ukrainian POWs were killed in an explosion. These satellite images showing only the building holding the POWs was damaged. Ukraine accusing Russia of moving the men into it before blowing it up. Russia is blaming Ukraine. Konstantin Velichko spent over 100 days imprisoned in the camp before being released.
They just beat us by different parts of our bodies.
As Ukraine continues to hold back Russia, President Zelensky ordering a mandatory evacuation of the Donbass region, saying the more people who leave the region now, quote, the fewer people the Russian army will have time to kill.
Two Russian missiles were shot down here over Odessa tonight. Russia is launching strikes from the Black Sea most days, but Turkey has said today that it believes the first grain ships should finally begin to leave here by Tuesday at the latest. Lindsay?
Finally, after so much delay, Patrick, thank you. Back here at home, President Biden has tested positive for COVID again, the second day in a row. The president's doctor, though, says he continues to feel well. The test means that President Biden will remain in isolation. The White House released this video of President Biden FaceTiming veterans' rights supporters on Saturday. But the president cannot hit the road at a critical time for his agenda. Here's ABC's White House correspondent, Mary Alice Parks.
President Biden working from home tonight with a so-called rebound case after taking the antiviral pill Paxlovid. Despite testing positive for the second day in a row today, the president says he has no symptoms. His doctor writing that he continues to feel well.
Hey, Dennis, Joe.
From his isolation at the White House, the president Saturday calling protesters gathered at the Capitol offering his support in their fight for a bill that would expand health care to millions of veterans.
Thank you for your heart. Thank you for your soul. Well, you
need to go. The bill would extend benefits to veterans exposed to toxic burn pits while serving in Iraq and Afghanistan.
This is a national shame.
Mr. Daines, no.
Republicans last week blocking the measure, seen here fist pumping when it stalled. They say the funds should have stricter limits. Democrats and activists around the country, including comedian Jon Stewart, standing firm.
We will stay there until the United States government does the right thing by the men and women who fought to protect it.
This week, the president on the verge of a major win. Democrats hoping to finally pass their budget deal that would allow Medicare to negotiate the price of prescription drugs, set a 15% corporate minimum tax, and make historic investments in clean energy. Senator Joe Manchin, a longtime holdout in the party, explaining to ABC's Jonathan Carl how he finally got to yes.
I was unbeknownst to me that there are people not paying any taxes whatsoever. These are the largest corporations in America, and we just said it should be a floor of a 15% minimum.
Now, because this big bill that Democrats are trying to pass is strictly a budget bill, they can do it this week with just 50 votes, but that means every Democrat is needed. Everyone has to be there, healthy, voting in person. And there's still a big question around Arizona Democrat Kyrsten Sinema. She has not said yet whether she backs this bill, Lindsay.
She remains the big question mark. Mary Alice, thank you. And there's so much more ahead on World News Tonight this Sunday. The horrific scene on a Wisconsin river, what we're learning about a deadly stabbing rampage involving tubers, and the highway horror in Illinois, 7 people killed, including 5 children, after a terrifying wrong-way crash.
This episode is brought to you by ShipStation. If you run an e-commerce business, you know how much work it takes to produce something great while dealing with complicated shipping issues. That's why over 130,000 companies have turned to ShipStation, an innovative tool that allows you to focus less on shipping and more on building your brand. With ShipStation, you can manage orders, label printing, reporting, and customer service on one easy-to-use dashboard. You'll reduce warehouse costs with reliable enterprise solutions and save thousands on shipping costs with discounts up to 89% off. Plus, you can effortlessly import orders from everywhere you sell online. So, turn your shipping challenges into opportunities for growth. Go to ShipStation.com and use code POD to sign up for your free 60-day trial. That's ShipStation.com, code POD.
Hey, I'm Andy Mitchell, a New York Times bestselling author.
And I'm Sabrina Kohlberg, a morning television producer. We're moms of toddlers and best friends of 20 years.
And we both love to talk about being parents, yes, but also pop culture.
So we're combining our two interests by talking to celebrities, writers, and fellow scholars of TV and movies.
Cinema, really.
About what we all can learn from the fictional moms we love to watch.
From ABC Audio and Good Morning America, Pop Culture Moms is out now wherever you listen to podcasts.
We've got the exclusive view behind the table. Every day, right after the show, while the topics are still hot, the ladies go deeper into the moments that make the view, the view. The Views Behind the Table podcast. Listen wherever you get your podcasts.
Next tonight, a horrific head-on crash in Illinois leaves at least 7 people dead, including 5 children. State police say the crash involved a wrong-way driver, and both vehicles were fully engulfed in flames. The crash occurred early this morning. Another victim was airlifted to the hospital with severe injuries. A 17-year-old was killed and 4 others critically injured after they were stabbed while tubing on the Apple River in Wisconsin. The suspect, a 52-year-old man from Wisconsin, fled the scene but was later taken into custody. No word just yet on a possible motive. Authorities don't know if the suspect knew the victims. To the Index now, family, fans, and colleagues are celebrating the life and career of groundbreaking television actress Nichelle Nichols. The former dancer and nightclub singer was best known for her role as Lieutenant Uhura on the Star Trek franchise. She shared what's called the first interracial kiss on American television right there with William Shatner. Nichols later worked with NASA to recruit women and people of color as astronauts. She died Saturday at 89. And the nation's most senior mail carrier is celebrating 70 years on the job. Johnny Bell joined the U.S. Postal Service in 1952 at the age of 23, earning $1.81 an hour. Bell worked in Oklahoma City for his entire career. He was right back on the job after celebrating the milestone. Finally tonight, tributes are pouring in for NBA legend and trailblazer Bill Russell, a towering sports icon credited with transforming the game of basketball. But tonight, he is being remembered as an athlete and activist, not just the player, but the person. Standing 6'10" tall, it was his quickness, rebounding, and blocking ability that made Bill Russell a great on the court.
What a play by Bill Russell!
But in society, his overall stature was further propelled by the stances he took, helping to reimagine the role of the athlete. Today, the 88-year-old legend is being remembered as a giant, not only transforming the face of the game, but for putting skin in the game when it came to the fight for racial equality.
I think I had a lot to do with the respect that athletes are treated with, black and white.
His family posting the news that the most prolific winner in American sports history passed away peacefully today at age 88 with his wife Janine by his side. Russell was the cornerstone of the Celtics, the beating heart of a great dynasty that dominated the NBA. In his 13 seasons in Boston from 1956 to 1969, they won 11 championships.
There isn't anyone here that has had as much fun as I've had in my life.
If anyone could appreciate Russell's unique brand of genius, it was his great rival, Wilt Chamberlain.
Boston Celtics were the best and greatest sports franchise of all times. Bill was the hub of that greatness.
In 1975, he was revered as the single most devastating force in the history of the game. In a poll in 1980, he was voted the greatest player in NBA history.
Basketball is what I did. It's not what I am. Whatever I do, I like to think that I bring an intelligent approach to it. I work hard at it, and I have a feeling of integrity about my profession.
William F. Russell.
More than four decades after he won a gold medal at the Olympics, he was awarded the Presidential Medal of Freedom by President Barack Obama as someone who stood up for the rights and dignity of all men. The former president issuing this statement today, as tall as Bill Russell stood, his legacy rises far higher, both as a player and as a person. Russell once said, if you can take something to levels that very few other people can reach, then what you're doing becomes art. Today, many are marveling at his art that didn't imitate life, but dared to reimagine it. Russell once said that he tried to live a good life and tried to contribute to society. That he did. Thanks so much for watching. I'm Lindsay Davis. I'll see you right back here tomorrow night. Have a great evening and good night.
The first ever criminal trial of a former president is underway in Manhattan. It's one of potentially four trials facing former President Trump as he makes his third bid for the White House. What do voters think about his culpability, and would a guilty verdict make a difference in the election? I'm Galen Druk, and every Monday and Thursday on the 538 Politics podcast, we break down the latest news from the campaign trail. We sort through the noise and zoom in on what really matters, using data and research as we go. That's 538 Politics every Monday and Thursday, wherever you get your podcasts.